Good morning. We are going to learn to the sugya of Shemen Zayas, what bracha to say on olive oil. So this discussion, it's a bit of a tricky one, and it impacts three basic areas of halacha that we saw through in the sources. One is what bracha one says, if any bracha on drinking Shemen Zayas. Number two is the halachas of drinking Shemen Zayas on Shabbos for refuah purposes. And the third area that this impacts is the halachas of one who drinks a shemen shel zayis of truma, whether one has to pay the penalty of chomesh and the reasons behind that. So those are the three areas, brachos, Shabbos, and truma, that we're going to touch upon. And I think that there's going to be a certain understanding of machlokas that's going to lace itself through each of these three areas. So we begin in the Gemara now. The Gemara says in the bottom of Lamed Hayman Beis. The Gemara says, Gufa. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar of Yitzchak, Amar of Yochanan, Shemen Zayis Mevarchan Alav Bori Priyaitz. When a person drinks olive oil straight, he says Ha'itz. So Gemara wants to know, Hei Chidami, what's the situation where a person would ever drink olive oil straight? Ilema, for what it means, is Dekashas Ilei. If a person drinks it mamish straight olive oil, Ozoki Mazik Lei. It's going to be Mazik the person. And how do we know it's Mazik a person? And what's the issue of it being mazik? So Rashi tells us, who cares if it's being mazik you? So Rashi says a very interesting line, Ozuki mazik legufe, it's mazik a person who drinks the olive oil. V'ein zu achila, that's not considered achila, that's not called eating. Shetu'una bracha, that requires a bracha, digali bracha v'chal tuksif. So Rashi is very important. Firstly, he says v'chalta. What's the v'chal tuksif that he refers to? It's written v'chalta. Where does it say v'chalta in the Torah? Right, v'chalta v'svata v'rachta, which is in the context of which bracha? Benching. We're not referring to benching, we're referring to birchas hanenin. So first question is, how could Rashi bring me a proof of benching to prove that you don't say a bracha on a birchas hanenin? That's point one. Point two is, Rashi says, he says there's no bracha. When a person drinks olive oil, there is no bracha at all because it's mazugu.
What does that mean?
Damage. It damages a person. Okay. And the third point of Rashi, we'll put this all together, is it's not called achila. When it's mazik you, it's not called achila. So we're going to explain what this all means in just a moment. Before we explain Rashi, I think it's very important to look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in explaining this Gemara, has a slightly different understanding. One who reads it at the first glance would imagine it's saying the same thing as Rashi, but I think it's actually different than Rashi. Rabbeinu Yonah in the back says, Shein zeh derech hana. Anything that damages a person, there's no bracha, because it's not derech hana. Rashi says it's not achila. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not derech hana. So this subtle difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, is very important. It's very fundamental. It goes back to what we've discussed many times about the nature of birchas hanenin. So what's the machlokas about how to understand birchas hanenin, the nature of birchas hanenin? What are the two approaches? Do you guys remember? Exactly. Is it a matir? Is it being matir an iser? Is matir me to get hana? Or it's about shevach vahoda? That was machlokas we saw many times. So clearly Rabbeinu Yonah is focused on the hana. Rabbeinu Yonah says this many times. We even saw him many times say this, and it's consistent what he says, that it's about hana. So therefore he understands that birchas nenin is about being matir the hana to me. Rashi, we saw many times, thinks it's nothing to do with hana, has to do with a bracha, birchas shevach v'hoda. And we said, if you assume that birchas nenin is a shevach v'hoda, that's learned out from benching, because everybody agrees benching is certainly a thanks to Hashem. So we saw in the Gemara, the Machlokas, whether you learn birchas nenin, is it derived from benching or not derived from benching. Rashi, in many places, and this is one of the primary places, he learns birchas nenin from benching, because he quotes the pasuk, he invokes the pasuk v'chalta v'zvat v'rachta. He invokes the pasuk of benching, yet we're talking about birchas hanenin, which tells us that Rashi assumes that there's the equation of the two brachas, that just like benching is a birchas shevach v'hoda, so to birchas hanenin is a shevach v'hoda. It's not being matir anything. It's about giving thanks to Hashem. It's nothing to do with hana at all. It's about v'chalta v'zvat v'rachta. V'chalta is lashon achila. When do you say a v'rachta? When do you say a benching? When there's an achila. You need a v'achalta in order to say a v'rachta. So to birchas hanenin, you need an achila in order to say a bracha. So that's why Rashi says, v'ein zu achila. when you drink olive oil, it's not considered an achila because you need an achila in order to say the bracha. As opposed to Rabbeinu Yonu says, it's all about hana because he thinks the nature of bircha hasanenin is about a matir, not a bircha sherech v'hodah. And that's machlokas, I think, between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonu.
Benching, and the only time you bench is when you're going to wash and then have bread and then have a meal, and that meal is hana. The question is then why don't we just do that for everything we eat? Meaning, why is the bread in and of itself?
It's a different topic. About bread, but it's not relevant for now. The benching of bread is not relevant for now.
No. We're saying a bracha. He's saying we have to say thanks.
Right.
Why do they have all these different brachas of this for thanks, this for thanks? And we're saying, you know, we should just say thank you in what we do is what's important. Like if I have bread, I hate water challah, and I bench. I wash and I say a mochi of a water challah, but I hate water challah. Do I then not bench?
Now, of course, it's a different topic. The Soveya, when a person's full, when he's satisfied, he says a benching. He does say benching if he's full.
If he's full.
Fine, let's go back to the Rambam says now, so this is all according to Rashi Rabbeinu Yonah, that there is no bracha when you drink something that's mazik a person. There's no bracha at all. If you take olive oil, you don't say any bracha. So it comes along the Rambam says differently. The Rambam in Hilchas Brachos per Ches Halacha Beis.
She's saying both Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah would agree.
Lamaskana, they know how you get there, whether it's Hana or Achila is different, but the bottom line, they both agree, when you drink olive oil, there is no bracha at all, because it's mazik a person. Comes along the Rambam says, in Hilchas Brachos Perek Ches Halacha Beis, Im Shasa Hashem in Levado, anyone who's following along in the Rambam himself, this is in the middle of the Rambam, he writes, if a person is shasa shemen, if a person drinks shemen levado, plain olive oil, oh shelo hayachoshish begrono, or he doesn't have a sore throat, we'll leave that aside for now. Mivarech alav shahakol. You say a shahakol when you drink olive oil straight. Sheharei lo nehene mitama shemen. Because you don't get enough from the olive oil is why you say a shahakol, a very strange lashon. It should be because you get hana is why you would say bracha, not because you don't get hana. It's a very strange lashon Rambam. So, firstly, he argues on the Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, you do takasei bracha on olive oil plain. And number two is the svar doesn't make much sense because you don't get hana. That's why you say bracha.
No, that's why you say it different.
Exactly. Good. So that's why you change the bracha. Very good. So that's why you have to explain. But still, why is there bracha at all in Shem and Zayis if it's a mazik a person? It's against Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Tur and the Rashba all pick up on this. They say, wait a second. You don't say a bracha on anything that's mazik a person. How could the Rambam get away with saying that there's going to be a bracha here? So the Kesef Mishnah says, even though it's mazik, there's still some level of hana that he's getting. Oh, so they're arguing about what hana there is.
But didn't we bring on the medicinal purposes early on that you're now ignoring?
Yeah, I'm ignoring it now for sure. But we're going to get to this topic next.
How do you say it's mazik a person when we have such a long discussion about how it cures a person.
Oh, how Shem and Zayis cures a person?
We're talking about plain, straight. We're not talking about the soup.
Right, exactly. Not no soup.
No, straight. Forget the soup.
So it comes to the point, Shem and Zayis, to my understanding, it helped with the sore throat, nothing else. But even though it helps my sore throat, it's going to mazik my stomach, like no end.
Your stomach.
So that's a mazik that's going to...
But there is a discussion of both.
Yes.
Right now we're ignoring the medicinal.
Yeah, we are. We are going to discuss next week medicinal... foods that are medicinal, and then real medicine, pills. We're going to discuss that next week. Flavored Advil, you say syrup.
Okay, don't get me confused.
Yeah.
So in this week, we've been talking about...
Okay. It does come up.
Pop.
No, it certainly it will come up even today. We're going to discuss it a little bit. My focus is on Shemen Zayis, as opposed to the general topic of medicine. We will get to medicine next week. But right now, just focus on the olive oil, how it's mazik a person's stomach. It kills a person's stomach, it's mazik you. And you can't say a bracha on something that's mazik you. So how come the Rambam says there's a bracha if it's mazik you?
Because my answer is your shakol that the rabbi told us last week is in a different category. And if it has some healing purposes, then I'm doing the shakol for the healing purposes.
It's a very, very good suggestion.
But if we're throwing out the healing purposes, then I got
no
answer.
No, so it's a good suggestion. Even then, we wouldn't say shakol on something that's purely medicinal. Has to have some level of hana that Gemara says.
If you say so.
Yeah.
Last week, Yishehakol told me it was in a different genre.
It is.
Maybe thank you for that.
Right. No, it's very, again, I think it's a very, very good point.
There's a difference between healing and making your throat feel better.
So if you make your throat feel better, it's not hana?
Excuse me?
If your throat feels better, that's hana.
That's not hana that we're talking about here. That's okay. That's medicinal. We're not anything medicinal that's purely medicinal with zero hana to it, there's not going to be any bracha. Anything that's completely medicinal, but there's no hana for the chaych, for my palate, there's no taste, then that would not consider bracha. So, fine.
What's water?
I never heard the thing that the rabbi told us about charcoal last week. That threw me for a loop.
Right. Yeah, we'll discuss that as a general, different topic about charcoal. We'll discuss that at a different time, though,
okay,
about charcoal.
When you drink water, and it's always confusing.
Water is a different topic. Water is a whole other sugya to water. It's later. We'll get to water. We'll get to water with Hashem in a few weeks. It's a very good topic, water. Okay. So in the end of the day, so the Kesef Mishnah says, how could it be, how could the Rambam say you say a bracha on Shem and Zayis if it's actually going to be mazik a person? So his answer is that even the Rambam thinks there's some level of hana when you drink Shem and Zayis. It might taste good on the way down, even though the results are going to be very detrimental for the person. So it sounds like a very acute machlokas here between the Rambam and Rashi, that how much is there hana or is there not hana for Shem and Zayis? I like to take it a step further, not so much about what the measure of hana is. There might be a different approach here, though it's very similar to what the Kesef Mishnah suggests. And let's build this up before we explain, based on the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara in Laman Vav, as you guys saw, has a discussion about taking Shemen Zayis on Shabbos. It's halacha that a person is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. And the concern is because maybe a person is going to go ahead and grind his own herbs, and there's a violation of tochen grinding. So he said no medicine's allowed on Shabbos unless there's certain instances, a person's bekuach nefesh, you could certainly take medicine. If it's a person, achola shein bosakana, how you define that, then there's certain heterim as well. But as a regular person who simply has a mechush, an ache, a slight headache, a slight pain, then you can't take any medicine. It's a gzera, dirban, unless you come to make your own medicine, which would be a violation of Shabbos.
Whether it's grinding pills or grinding herbs.
Exactly, grinding pills, grinding herbs, it might lead to a certain malacha. Some say it might be not lav dafka tochen. It might be all malachas. I might end up going carrying from outside somewhere to go get what I need. Or I might end up cutting things off the tree. That's, again, a different topic. But that's the basic background. You can't take any medicine on Shabbos because it might lead to some violation of malacha if one were to prepare the medicine. Now, even though, wait a second, for me it's not shaykh. I don't know how to grind herbs. I'm not a pharmacist. I don't know what I'm doing. So they say, no, still nonetheless, either they explain that the gzeira existed and it still exists regardless of that it doesn't apply anymore, or others say, no, it doesn't only apply to grinding. It applies to any mlacha. So I could run to CVS and take my car to get the medicine. That would be a violation. So because of the great need, people take medicine so seriously, they ask for all medicine on Shabbos unless there's certain need, pikuach nefesh, chol shein bo sakana, different topic.
Or even on a simple level, if it's going to keep you in bed, no?
Exactly. Keeping you in bed is one of the examples of a chol she'ein bo sakana. It's not dangerous, right. But a person who has the flu, he's going to be in bed. It's not dangerous per se. It could be, but in most of we don't assume it's dangerous.
Allowed, no?
But you're allowed to in those cases.
Because it's going to kill your Shabbos.
Not because it's kill your Shabbos, but that was a built-in heter. We don't want people to be so...
All right, another topic.
Okay, fine. So Gemara now says in Laman Vav, in the context of taking medicine on Shabbos, if you go to five lines down in the Gemara here,
An aleph
or base. Lamed vav amin aleph. The Gemara says five lines down. The first word is detanya. Hachoshesh begrona, a person who has a sore throat. Lo yarena b'shemen tchila b'shabbos. A person who cannot take olive oil on Shabbos. We'll read the Rashi's in a second. Aval, what he's allowed to do is no sin shemen harbe the toch anigron ubolea. He could place olive oil in soup, a lot of olive oil in soup, and he'll drink the soup and eat the soup. And vis-a-vis the soup, he'll get the olive oil, and that will be a way of soothing his throat. So Rashi explains here. Rashi, two lines from the top, he says, Lo yarenu b'shemen b'shabbos dimash le'besoch grana. What it means is to gargle the olive oil in the throat. That's not permitted. Ve'ena bolea. You don't swallow it. You simply gargle the oil. V'cheven de'lo balala, since you're not swallowing the olive oil, mu'chach amils, it becomes clear, d'lerfuahu, that you're doing this for medicinal purposes. V'chachamim gazru al kol refuos, like we just mentioned, hanikaros, any recognizable refua, mishum schikas samanim, you might come to grind your own herbs and medicines, shihim malachim. Therefore, all medicine that's clear that you're doing it for medicine would be asr. Something that wouldn't be so clear, like eating food, eating soup. Person says, oh, the guy is eating soup. He doesn't know that it's going to be filled with olive oil to soothe his throat. That's okay. But if it's clear that he's gargling olive oil, that's certainly for medication, that would be asr as well. And we come out from here also. Some people think, someone asked me the question last week, it's not only medicine that a person eats. because you're not eating the olive oil, you're simply gargling it and spitting it out. Even medicine would be a violation. That's even something that heals, that's not related to eating, would also be a problem. Ice, using ice packs is a discussion. Could you use an ice pack on Shabbos? That's also somewhat, or it's about refuah. Could you do exercise on Shabbos? That's bichlal refuah, perhaps, is a discussion. So it's not anything, not only things that you actually take, putting creams on, band-aids on. These are some type of things that might be, that are questions that have to be understood, but it's not only things that you actually eat.
Could you explain the context again? I understand the idea of gargling with oil is no, because it's a refuah, and mixing with soup is okay, because it's eating.
Exactly, it's eating.
How does this fit into our show?
So you'll see in a second. So let's keep it going a little bit further. Next Rashi says, well, I'll finish in a second. Next Rashi, tchila, kolomar, lechachila lo yitain Hashem b'fiv, l'shem iru, kim l'shem belia. Very important Rashi. You can't place it in your mouth in order to gargle it, kim, except for l'shem belia, to swallow it. If you place it in your mouth to swallow it, then im ba l'shoso yishahin, and then if you want to leave it in your mouth a little bit, and then swallow it, that would be okay. So the two extremes are, gargling it is usur, eating it as soup is mutter, and Rashi says another situation where it's mutter is to swallow the olive oil straight, but leave it in my mouth a little bit to help my throat, and then swallow it, that would be okay as well. So swallowing it plain, according to Rashi, would be permitted on Shabbos.
If you have a toothache and you sip a little whiskey to numb the area, and then you swallow it, that's okay.
Completely okay, exactly. Completely okay, same idea.
But no bracha.
Rashi said
no bracha.
Rashi said no bracha for, exactly, very good point. For olive oil, there's no bracha, even though you'd swallow on Shabbos and it would seem like you're eating it and that would be okay,
right.
You wouldn't say bracha. So Rashi, very good point, we're going to get to him. He sounds like a steer, I'll explain that contradiction in a moment.
It's in a different subject, that's how the rabbi started.
We're going to connect it to, yeah,
subjects.
But we're going to connect those subjects.
Because there's drinking and there's truma.
Exactly. Right, and brachos, Shabbos, and Shuma.
Yeah.
So right now, Shabbos and brachos for Rashi, if you're picking up on this, it seems to be a steer. I'll explain the steer in just a moment. But let's just work this through, and then we'll connect it back to bracha in a second. So right now, Rashi says you're allowed to swallow olive oil on Shabbos. That's not considered refuah. Even though I'm doing it for refuah purposes, since it doesn't look like refuah purposes, I'm allowed to drink olive oil straight. Tosos takes issue with Rashi. Tosos on the top of Lamed Vavam and Aleph, Dibra Maschel Lo Yerenu. He says...
takes issue with Rashi on which one?
On the point of swallowing olive oil on Shabbos. He says...
gargle and swallow?
He thinks swallowing plain would be usher as well. If you look at Tosos, I don't want to go through the question, it's a little bit, not complicated, but if you go three lines down in Tosos where he says, Al-Karchach Perish Rehari. The Re explains in Tosos, Lo Yerenu Afilu Bivliya Below Shehiya Shekol Shesia She'enu Ela Lerfua Karile Iru Afilu Kishibolo. Swallowing olive oil plain would be usur according to Tosfos. So what's the machlokas about swallowing olive oil, whether it be mutter or not on Shabbos? Rambam, by the way, the Rambam agrees to Rashi that you're allowed to swallow olive oil on Shabbos for food purposes. You're allowed to, and the Achronim point this out, that Rambam agrees to Rashi here. So what's the machlokas whether or not you're allowed to drink olive oil on Shabbos or not?
Tosfos says you can't do it for refuah even if it looks like it's regular eating.
Right. So why not?
At the end of the day, you're eating it for refuah.
Okay, why is Rashi and Rambam allow you to?
Rashi says the problem is what it looks like.
Tosfos' problem with Rashi is why did the Gemara bring a case with a nigna?
Right. So the question Tosfos has is a textual question. So it could be textual. I'm trying to figure what's the svar? What's the lumnus behind machloka? So you're saying it's about perception. They're arguing whether does drinking olive oil look like refuah or does not look like refuah.
Rashi says perception makes it mutter. Right. The perception doesn't look like eating.
So it seems that even the Tosos doesn't argue on that point, though, about perception per se. He doesn't say... it's karile iru.
By definition, if you are drinking something for medicinal purposes, that's defined as iru. I don't know how he does it. He's not defining that as error textually, he's defining that as error halachically.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the question is, so what makes it? So you're saying because of perception.
Or intent.
So I want to take it a little bit further than perception, even though I agree Rashi does mention perception, Tosfos does not mention perception, but that might be his understanding. It might be about what we said before, and that we didn't say this before, what I want to answer is as follows. It sounds like from the Magen Avraham, The Magen Rebbe writes this line in Simen Shin Chaf Ches in the context of Hilchos Bracha, Hilchos Shabbos, that when we say Bolei B'Shemen, he quotes this halacha, whether one's allowed to or not, he passes you're allowed to. He says it all depends on Hakol Lefi Makom Vazman. It depends what people normally do. So it's going to adjust. Nowadays, some people apparently do drink olive oil straight, someone was telling me. It's not as potent, or they dilute it, or they do something to the olive oil that they drink it straight. It's very good for the body, someone told me. I don't know. I never tried it. I wouldn't try it. But people do this. So the question becomes, how come this could change? Didn't we say it's mazik a person? Isn't Shemen's eyes mazik? So I think the idea is as follows. They're arguing about...
I'm sorry, what did you say about Gain Avram 6?
The Magen Rebbe says that the whole issue of taking olive oil on Shabbos, whether it's mutter or aser, depends on the kol fi amakom v'hazman. Depends on where you live and when you live. Depends on the society. Some societies do drink olive oil, others don't. So what I think it boils down to, the machlokas here about Shemen Zayis, is whether or not a person considers this something that's roi l'achila or not. If it's roi l'achila, as a chefsa, is this considered a chefsa shel achila or not? Now, the Rashi assumed that since it's mazik a person, you can't view olive oil as a chefsa shel achila. And the Rambam felt that it is a chefsa shel achila, even though it's going to dabe, even it's edible.
Is it considered edible?
Is it the fact that it's mazik you're going to change the status of its chefsa shel achila or not? So again, the Rambam assumes that in the end of the day, this is food, and it is considered edible. It's considered an achila, and therefore one would say a bracha. Now, you don't say the bracha of ha'etz when you drink it, the Rambam says. You say the bracha of shehakol,
right,
but still considered a davar meichel. It's considered something that's edible. And that's also why the Rambam holds you could take it on Shabbos as well, because it's food. You're allowed to take any other food.
What's your explanation but according, to downgrading the bracha?
But, so we'll get to that in a second. Very good. Let's just build this up. But according to the other opinions, like Rashi and Rabbi Yonah, who says there's no bracha on Hashem and Zayas, they hold that it's not considered edible. Once it's a mazik person, that means we look back at the olive oil and we don't view this as something that's edible because it damages you. And that's why on Shabbos, you couldn't take it according to Tosfos because it's not considered achila. Only soups, only foods that medicinal benefits are allowed to be taken on Shabbos. But olive oil, which is not food, it's like taking pills on Shabbos, that's not medicine. That's not considered food, and that's not mutter. So however you assume by brachos, you consider achila by bracha, and it requires a bracha, it would be permitted on Shabbos. You assume it's not food with regards to bracha, then it wouldn't be a food with regards to Shabbos, and would be usher.
Say it again?
That if you assume that it's considered, right, exactly. If you assume it's food for brachas, that you would require bracha, like Rambam says, so since it's food, then you are allowed to take it on Shabbos plain, like the Rambam says. He's l'shitaso. It's food with regards to bracha, and it's food with regards to Shabbos.
Right.
If you assume that's not food with regards to bracha, that there is no
right.
bracha on it, it's mazgu,
right.
then that means it comes to Shabbos also, it's not food, and you can't take it on Shabbos because it's not food.
Right.
Only food can be taken for medicinal purposes on Shabbos, but medicine
right.
may not. And olive oil is not food, it's medicine.
Okay.
So that gives us to Rashi. Rashi seems to contradict himself. Rashi says there is no bracha on it. Sounds like it's not food, but you are allowed to take it on Shabbos. Sounds like it is food. That's the stira within Rashi. We still have to get back to your question of why the Rambam downgrades the bracha of ha'etz to shakal.
Right, and my first question was the one you just said now, right? We said that
yeah,
before.
Exactly. That was what you pointed out in the beginning.
The reason why I didn't consider it medicine per se was in those days, whatever they had the powder, they had things that weren't directly medicine. So the olive oil would presume for him on Shabbos, well, it's not the medicine, the corn, whatever you may call it. It's a food product, and that's why he called it a food. But on Shabbos, if you wouldn't say a bracha then, or what bracha would you say if he does say it? He doesn't say that.
Who?
Rashi.
Rashi is there is no bracha at all.
No bracha, but he's still considered a food. I understand the food part of it. At that point, but why would you say a bracha on it then?
There's no bracha on it.
Right, but what was his reasoning?
So that's what we're figuring out. That's what we're trying to figure out right now. We're within Rashi. It is considered, you're allowed to take it on Shabbos, but there's no bracha. We're trying to figure that out right now. But before we get to Rashi, let's do Rashi first. I'm going to go back to a very important point as well. So Rashi has a stira that there's no bracha on it, yet you're allowed to take this on Shabbos. I think the idea is
that when you make it look like eating, even though it's not eating.
Exactly, even though it's not eating.
But you made it look like eating because you gargled and you swallowed.
Right. So it could be, that could be the answer. One answer Rashi could be, that on Shabbos it's all about perception. Since it looks like I'm eating, Shemen zayis that people have on their table, people make it, it's part of its ingredients that people use.
In food prep, just people don't eat it straight.
Exactly. So therefore, it gives the impression of as if I'm eating, even though it's not really food, but that impression's enough to permit it on Shabbos. It's all about muchacha milsa, how it appears to everybody observing. So it's not really food and there's no bracha, but for the purpose of refuah, it's permitted on Shabbos because the perception is it looks like I'm eating.
Is it like a condiment? Like in the same category as
mustard? It's worse. No, it's worse because it's not edible. It's damaging. If you drink mustard plain,
no,
it's not going to...
As far as perceiving as food, it looks like another thing on the...
Yeah, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, it would seem to be that
category. And actually, they eat that all the time with like za'atar and Syrian bread. It's a Middle Eastern delicacy to put oil.
But that's when you dip it with bread, though. You dip it with bread.
Yeah.
But to have it plain.
So Rabbeinu Yonah wouldn't allow you to drink it on Shabbos.
Rabbeinu Yonah, L'chora, wouldn't allow you to drink it on Shabbos. Right. L'chora, he would not.
So Rashi's just worried about what other people are going to think?
Well, he's understanding the issue of on Shabbos. Right. On Shabbos.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yourself. Exactly. About impression.
So it doesn't make a difference for yourself. It's all about impression.
Right. Well, then I wouldn't take this in general, but this particular application, thing. Exactly. I mean, which is important.
Is that in the category of Maris Iron?
It's very similar to Maris Iron, exactly. Maris Iron is about other people's perceptions of what's going on, even though I know I'm allowed to take it because I have a sore throat. But the guy next to me doesn't know my throat's killing me. He said, wait a second, you're taking that olive oil. That means you're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Or maybe he would, other way around, actually. Rather, if I do have a sore throat, the guy thinks, why am I taking olive oil? Because I'm allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. But if the guy, if I'm taking it like I eat normal food, so then he won't have any misunderstandings. Okay, that's one approach.
What did Tosfos say?
Tosfos says that one's not allowed to swallow olive oil.
At all.
On Shabbos. No, combined, you're allowed to. Combined, once you have it included in the soup, then you're eating the soup, and the soup's really just regular eating, and then that's okay.
Sounds very similar to Rashi.
No.
Not plain, but if you're gargling and swallowing, make it look like eating, it's okay. Tosfos says... It plain, no, but if you're mixing it with food, so it's more like eating, it's okay.
No, but taking it plain, Tosfos says no. Rashi says you can take it plain.
I thought he said no.
Yes. No, Rashi says you can take it plain.
Yeah, but there's no bracha.
Oh, yes, no bracha.
Yeah. Okay, so that's one approach. Rashi is really, it's not considered food, but for Shabbos, it does look like you're eating food, and therefore it's permitted. That's one approach. I want to give it a second approach, which is a little bit more complex, and that's as follows. When it comes to eating, there's one thing of the actual chefza shel achila, the food, and there's also the way you eat it. So shemen zayis is considered food, and that's why it's permitted on Shabbos. But you're not eating it in the regular way. No one eats it plain. It's not derech achila, and therefore it doesn't require bracha. So we go back to Rashi again. Rashi told us, why is there no bracha on shemen zayis? Ve'ein zu achila, he says. It's not considered achila. It's not derech achila. Nobody eats olive oil that way. No one drinks it plain. And since it's not considered achila, there's no bracha. There's a special gezeirat hakatzah. When it comes to verachta, when it comes to brachas, you have to have a derech achila. And that's not considered derech achila. But it is considered food, though. It's a food. I'm just not eating it in the proper way. And therefore, with regards to Shabbos, since it's food, it's okay. There's never a gezeirah on food. There's no gezeirah of refuah on food on Shabbos. So it's food. But there's no bracha since I'm not eating in the proper way. That might be another answer of Rashi.
So I'm asking you if it's like a condiment. Like you wouldn't stam eat salt, but you'd have salt along with something.
Right.
Is it in that
so I guess salt would be similar, I guess. Yeah. Salt, no one would eat salt. Ketchup and mustard would be interesting. It's not normal to eat that way plain. But at the same time, it's not mazik a person. So if it's
salt
not mazik...
Salt might be, if you were eating salt.
I'm not sure it would be mazik like the way olive oil does. I don't know if it would be mazik anyone. It depends how much salt you have. I don't think it would be mazik. It might be only... Something that's mazik a person is no longer considered derech achila anymore. Something that's not normally eaten, even though it's still edible, but it's not damaging a person, I'm not sure. I think it's a good model to look at, though.
Rabbi, the emphasis here is not eaten in that way, and because it's not eaten that way, we didn't say a bracha.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took some tea and put a lot of honey in, because your throat is, but all you did is you took the tea and you kind of gargled with it in your throat, which is not a normal way to drink that tea, and that's the way you're going to do that, would you still say a bracha? Because the whole intention here...
This is another topic about ti'ima, tasting something. Tasting something without actually swallowing something is a different topic.
No, then you swallowed it.
So then
you swallow it because you didn't want to spit it out.
So then you say bracha. If you're swallowing it, you definitely say bracha. Because it's not mazik you. Tea and honey is not mazik you. We're talking about Shemen Zayis, which is a mazik a person. Right. This is a tea, it's not mazik you. So that would be a different discussion then. Okay. Now, there is an interesting understanding here. So the problem for the Rambam is now as follows. The Rambam, if we're assuming really, the Rambam thinks that Shemen Zayis, you say a shakal in Shemen Zayis. Doesn't the Gemara say that olive oil is mazik a person? It's very strange to say a shahakal in something that's mazik a person. So there is this girsa in the Ritva. The Ritva says the girsa is not that the Shemen Zayis is mazik the person. Anyone see this? But he says that the what does he say? That the the person is mazik the Shemen Zayis.
Sure.
You saw this in the
No, I was so confusing what you're saying.
What the Gemara says is that when you drink olive oil, it damages the person's body. It's damaging to me. When I drink olive oil, it damages me, and therefore there's no bracha, says Rashi. The Rambam says that there is a bracha when you drink olive oil. And the question is, how could you say a bracha on something that's going to damage my body? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So the Ritva has a different girsa. The Ritva says the girsa, the text of the Gemara, is not that olive oil damages me, but I damage the olive oil. When I drink it, I'm damaging the olive oil, which is fascinating. What does that mean? Anytime I eat food, I'm damaging the food. I'm eating the food, I'm crushing the food. That's a food, that's what you do to food. You damage it. Any food is like, why is olive oil? Why am I mazik olive oil? How do you mazik olive oil?
It's right ah, form.
Exactly. I think that's the answer. Right. The answer is
you're not using it in its right way. You don't just supposed to, you know, shoot down olive oil. You're supposed to mix it in with this, mix it in with that.
I'm misusing it. I'm misusing the olive oil.
Food doesn't damage me.
I'm damaging the food. So the only way I can think of is exactly what you said, is that the fact that I'm misusing it, I'm not eating in the proper way, that's called mazik, the Shemen Zayis. I wasted away the olive oil. I used it in an inappropriate way, an unnecessary way. It really was a mamash hefsed.
Therefore what? Don't say
you misspoke.
Therefore what?
Therefore what? So therefore, since I'm not eating it derech achila, I don't say bracha. I don't say the proper bracha.
Right, so
exactly. Exactly. Okay. Meaning it's called a food. It's an edible olive oil. But since I'm eating in a different way, so it's still food. It still requires a bracha.
But what's the bracha for?
The bracha is for I'm doing exactly good point. It's either because I'm getting some level of hana or because it's something that's considered a food. It's still edible, but doesn't have the spitz bracha. The actual the best bracha it should have. There's no ha'et on it because I'm not eating it in the proper way. But I'm still eating it, and still food.
Say the bracha for where,
anything else
in
like this
case, where it came from, so why would you change it?
Because I'm not eating the proper way. I need achila. Remember, I need an achila. The proper bracha goes based on there being achila. Now, I'll say further. What the Rambam says, yeah?
I'm just waiting for you to give another example of this in halacha.
Doesn't mean there has to be.
Ah, I was thinking
I
that
understand
too.
That.
But
I'm waiting to hear another example of eating where we change the bracha because the item is exactly the same, but my method of eating changes the bracha that I make.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with any other Hilchas brachas, but certainly this does come up throughout Shas, about something that's not derech achila, I will not violate. If I eat a basar b'chalav of shelo derech achila, whatever that example might be, what's considered lo derech achila, I won't violate the hana. I won't violate the itzer basar b'chalav. I have to eat in derech achila. The Gemara Mishachim says there are a few exceptions that even if I do eat it in an abnormal way, I will still get the itzer. But most machals asiros, most forbidden foods, if I eat it in a not normal way, I don't get the isser.
Do you make a bracha on a chila gasa?
Chila gasa, I think not.
Then don't make a bracha. You don't make a different bracha.
Right. Exactly. But
just making him.
But remember, but remember, this is not my thing. The Rambam says you say a shahakol and Shemen Zayis. So he already says something weird's going on there. Why would you say shahakol and Shemen Zayis? I think the idea is. Because you're not getting, again, the reason he gives is because you're not getting hana from the Shemen Zayis. You're not getting the normal hana from the Shemen Zayis. But you still have to say a bracha because it's food.
You have to see, hold that it's a matir or that it's a hana.
Rambam, I think, Shita, is he thinks there's two dinim. Based on things we've seen in the past, there are two dinim. He thinks you say a bracha for the reason that there's hana and also because it's a bircha shevach v'hoda. Those two categories. So what he says is, when there's no hana, he's neutralized the bircha sinenen aspect. But still considered an achila because I'm eating Shemen Zayis, which is edible.
Right, you got to have some benefit from eating Shemen Zayis. Right. It's got to be something.
So what I think is the Rambam says there's an achila for Shemen Zayis, but there's no hana. Listen to his lashon again. He says, "You say a shahakel sharei lo nen and mitam shemen because you don't get hana. That's why you only say shakel because there's no hana. but they're still considered an achila. It's still shemen zayis. It's still roi l'achila, like we've been saying. The Rambam holds olive oil is considered edible. I'm just eating it in the wrong way. I'm not getting the normal hanah from it. That's why there's a bracha, but it's only a shakal, not an ha'et.
That was only on Shabbos?
It's at the same. Brachos, on brachos.
Is that the same thing as eating like a very hot pepper?
If it's damaging you, interesting, well, maybe. I don't know, maybe. If it's gonna, if a person has ulcers, and it could be, but that's a different topic.
Even if you're a normal person, I'm should I change the bracha to shakal and not adama because it, what you just said, because it's not.
I don't think hot pepper.
To me, well, I'm not getting a gnaw.
If you think again, I never took a hot pepper down straight without having it with the taco. If you take it plain, is it really mazik a person's stomach like olive oil does? I don't know. If it does,
I'm saying it takes away the hanah.
Hurts your whole body.
Right.
You said it has something to do with hanah. So what if I'm eating something that I don't get hanah?
Again, if you could find something that is similar to olive oil, as damaging as olive oil, if red hot peppers is the same way, then it would be the same halacha. I don't know if it is the same. If it is the same halacha would apply, according to the Rambam.
In that case, if the person took milk and swished it in their mouth before the hot pepper, some people would do that to take away some of that. Would they say a bracha on that milk?
Yes.
They tasted, but they didn't swallow it.
Again, that's a different discussion. That's tima. That's tasting. That's not our topic. Fine. So let's go through the third topic now. The third area, guys. We discussed right now two topics of Shabbos and Brachos. And right now we're working with that olive oil, whether olive oil is considered edible or not edible. We wanted to say whatever you assume by Brachos is the same thing by Shabbos. If it's not edible for Brachos, it's not edible for Shabbos. If it is edible for brachos and there's a bracha, it is edible for Shabbos. And then we spoke about how there could be a difference between a chefsa shel achila, where it's edible, but you're eating it in an abnormal way. That's why I'm considered mafsid the shemen. I'm damaging the olive oil because I'm misusing the olive oil. So now that being said, I think it's very important to look at...
So the ritual says because you're damaging the olive oil because you're not doing it derech achila, therefore, that's how he explains the Rambam. That he would make the shahakol, but he would still be, and he would be allowed to do it on Shabbos.
Exactly. Now, the Ritva doesn't explain all this. I'm using the Ritva's text to explain the Rambam. The Rambam thinks that it's considered edible, and that's why I'm allowed to take this on Shabbos, and also that's why I could take it, that's why I could I say bracha on it, but I only say shahakol because I'm not eating it in the normal way.
But he can't gargle.
Exactly.
Speaking of gargling, do you make a bracha on if an alcoholic is drinking mouthwash?
Nah, it's not considered edible.
That's
the
what
mouthwash,
I'm
yeah.
But people do it like a nebuch alcoholic. They have to take away his mouthwash because he drinks it for that reason.
Oh, interesting. I don't
but
think
he wouldn't make a bracha if it's just not the normal way.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now, this does connect to the third area we wanted to discuss is chuma. So we said when it comes to chuma, that a person who drinks shemen shel chuma, if olive oil that is supposed to go to the kohen, that's chuma, if I drink it straight, the Gemara told us in the bottom of Laman Hamin Beis that you are chayv to pay the karen, I need to pay the kohen back.
What are we doing now?
Yeah,
doing
chuma.
Chuma. Chuma.
Well, we'll get to the Rambam in just a moment, right? I'm doing Gemara.
Sorry to ask about how chuma is done. But what's truma?
Okay,
the oil usually gets mixed with the bread or something.
Right, so let's backtrack.
Straight.
So we're talking, let's say a person, I have a farm, I have olives, olive oil, and I have to take truma, which is either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th.
Okay.
I give it to the kohen. Now the kohen has truma in his possession. It's olive oil that's truma that only he could eat. A non-kohen may not eat it. It's usser.
One second, chuma is only on edible things?
Yes, only on edible things.
So now we're considering olive oil edible.
So that's a very good point. So the Torah already tells us, Degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarcha. V'yitzarcha is olive oil, that you take chuma on v'yitzarcha. You take chuma on shemen zayis.
So the foods.
Sure.
So now you're telling me it's edible doesn't. By definition?
It's something that can be eaten with other things,
yeah.
But not necessarily plain.
Right.
It's still considered, it's food, but not plain to be eaten.
I didn't ask, why was olive oil... I thought you get truma before you change its shape. It's to be like,
On the olives before you do something.
When I make apple juice, I give truma.
So on the
apple juice?
Right, so you could give it as olives, but now me as the kohen, I made the olives into olive oil. And now that olive oil is truma in my possession.
You're the kohen.
Whether before or after.
Right.
Into olive oil.
Right.
Whether it was before or after?
Right.
Okay.
So right now there's truma of olive oil. Olive oil shall truma. And someone goes ahead and eats it. A non-kohen eats the truma. So he used to pay back the $10 of olive oil that he he drank, but he doesn't have to pay the additional chomesh. Normally, there's a penalty. When you take someone else's truma, you have to pay an additional 1/5. So the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us that if a person drinks the olive oil plain, you do not have to pay the chomesh. You do not have to pay the extra 1/5. Why not? Well, so Rashi says, because ein mishal mechomesh degave chomesh, when it comes to this 1/5, the penalty of 1/5, which, by the way, is a Torah penalty, achila ksiv, it says you need to have an achila, v'ish ki yochel kodesh b'shkaga, the pasuk says, when you eat kodesh b'shkaga, you have to pay the chomesh. Says the Rashi, quoting the Gemara, prat lemazik, if a person is mazik, a person is getting damaged, you don't. So if I'm drinking the Shemen Zayis, I'm not getting achila, it's not considered achila, that's considered a mazik on my part. And therefore, I'm putter from paying the chomesh, because the Shemen Zayis is mazik, fine. So comes along the Rambam. The Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't think it's mazik you, right? We've been saying that the Ritva and the Rambam hold that Shemen Zayis is not mazik you. You say brach on Shemen Zayis. You're mazik the Shemen Zayis. I'm being mafsid the Shemen Zayis. It's not mafsid me. So what's the reason why when I drink Shemen Zayis of Chuma, I don't have to pay chomesh? It can't be because, again, it's mazik me, because Rambam doesn't hold this mazik me. So Rambam, if you look in Hilchos Trumos.
So I'm sorry, Rambam holds the same thing that you pay in one case and you don't pay in another.
No, in this case,
what?
We didn't get there yet.
Right. So let's see what the Rambam says. What we do know is the Rambam cannot use the same svar as Rashi.
You mean I'm ahead? I'm always behind.
You're asking about something you didn't say yet. That's what I'm telling you.
The Rambam clearly cannot hold a Rashi. He can't hold the reason why I'm part of him chomesh is because it's mazik me, because we already proved. He doesn't think that Shemen Zayis is mazik me. If anything, I'm mazik the Shemen Zayis. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, Perek Yud Halacha Ches, there's where he codifies the halacha of a person being pater from chomesh if he's mazik him. So he writes in the halacha here, Hayasave, the guy is very full, v'katz b'mizono, and he doesn't want to eat anymore. V'hosav al svaot, achila gasa, he's really stuffing his face. V'achias truma, ein mashal mes chomesh. You don't pay the chomesh. Shenemar ki yechal lo sheyazik es asmo. That it can't be damaging you. It can't be mazik you. The example of mazik, he says, is achila gasa. If I'm so stuffed where I want to vomit, that's considered mazik myself. Now halacha yud aleph is when he presents the case of Shemen Zayis. He does not quote Shemen Zayis in halacha ches. You would have thought, if he held like Rashi, he should have said, you know what the example, another example of being mazik myself is? Drinking Shemen Zayis. He doesn't say that example there. He doesn't bring it into halacha yud aleph, where he's talking about other cases. Look what he writes in halacha yud aleph. Hamachas banav katanim, if I give my little kids to eat, vesavadav, and my servants, bein gedolim, bein katanim, regardless of their age. Va'ochel chuma chutzart, va'eat chuma that's taken from chutzart. Va'ochel o shows the pachas mekazais, or I eat less than a kazais. V'nazir sheshagig v'shasayayin shel chuma. Va'shos es shemen, and so on, and that's when you don't pay chomesh. He lumps together drinking olive oil, not with halachas of what's being mazik, but with halachas that are considered things that are not normally eaten. Giving children pachas mekazais, a whole different type of list of pturim.
Giving children pachas min
pazayis. Less than a kazayis is not considered achila. Not considered achila. Giving banim katanim of adam, I'm not really sure why that's pater actually. I'm not sure why. But all I do know this is on a different list than the Mazda case. It's lumped together with something that's less than a shear. It's not considered a full achila, not a proper way of eating. As opposed to lumping it together with the issues of mazik, he lumps it together with a different set of halachas.
I thought if you don't eat a shear, this is a bracha rishon of a not achrona.
That is correct. But you're not chayiv to pay the chomesh. You need an achila to pay the chomesh. It's not considered an achila until you're exactly the grouping. The grouping is very, very important.
I'm not saying it's less than kazayis, shemen zayis. Just shemen zayis.
Exactly.
With the
but that grouping is very important.
Right.
And it's consistent. Because Rambam cannot group it together with halachas of mazik because he doesn't think shemen zayis is a mazik meat. What he does think it is, that shemen zayis is not considered derech achila. And that's why he lumps it together with these other examples of things that are not derech achila, l'shitaso. So since it's not derech achila, that's why Hilchos Brachos, it has a different bracha. It goes from ha'etz to shakel. That's why the p'tur in Hilchos Shuma is the halachas of not derech achila. And that's why in Shabbos it's permitted, because even though it's not derech achila, it's considered a food item still, and there's no issur of refuah on food items. Shemen zayis is considered a food item, even though I'm not eating it in the normal way.
When they said about truma, if you accidentally tripped and knocked over that oil that was truma, and let's say it now went onto the floor, to the ground, let's say a third or a quarter of it is now gone, of truma oil, don't you have to, even if it's your mistake, wouldn't you have to pay that back? You know, because you destroyed a quarter of his truma special oil?
Yeah, sure, you have to pay it back, yeah.
You would have to pay it back. So what's the difference if you drank a quarter of it? Whatever that quarter, it's gone. How you did it is, that's why I didn't understand. What's the difference?
No, the Pasuk says when you pay Chomesh, it has to be through an Achila, the Pasuk says. An Achila. Only an Achila will result in a Chomesh. If I'm not eating it in the normal way, if it's not a Derech Achila, then I don't have to pay the Chomesh. The Karen, I have to pay the value that I took from him, the actual value, but the additional penalty of 1/5, I only have to pay if there's an Achila.
If it was in the normal
exactly.
way.
So let's review what we did. I know it was a lot. So Shemen Zayas, we had three areas of discussions. We had the areas of Shabbos, Brachos, and Chuma. So we had a Machlokas whether one says a Bracha on Shemen Zayas or not. Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah says you do not say Bracha for two different reasons. Either because it's no Hana or because it's not Achila.
Right.
And Rambam says that you do say Bracha of a Shehakol when you drink Shemen Zayas.
Right.
And we wanted to explain that they're arguing about whether or not a Shemen Zayas is considered a Chefse Shel Achila or not. The Rambam felt that it was something edible, and that's why you get a bracha. And Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah felt that it wasn't something edible. Then we went to the halachas of Shabbos. Are you allowed to take olive oil straight on Shabbos? Is that considered refuah or not refuah? So the Rambam says you're allowed to, because he thinks that Shemen's ice is considered something edible, so you could therefore take it on Shabbos. And Tosu says you cannot take it on Shabbos, because he assumes that Shemen's ice is not considered edible, and therefore there would be no bracha, and you would not be allowed to take this on Shabbos. Then we went to the third area of Hilchos Chuma.
Before we get there, we care about the Tosos and the Ri, of whether it's what people...
That's what I just said. The Tosos says that you are not allowed to take olive oil straight on Shabbos because it's not considered something that's edible and it would be considered completely medicinal.
Do we care about the Magen Avusis? It depends on the society?
You don't have to say. That was a proof I brought to say that it can be edible depending on where you live and what time you live in. Then we went to the Hilchos Chuma. Further from that, we said as well, so a proof that we said that Rambam holds that it is considered edible is the fact that the Ritva had the Girsa, that not that the Shemen Zayas is mazik me, but I'm actually being mazik the Shemen Zayas. And which, what does it mean it's being mazik the Shemen Zayas? It means I'm eating it in the abnormal way. So once we conclude that drinking Shemen Zayas straight is something that's an ochel, but lav derech achila, that explains why the Rambam holds it's only a shehakol. It's been downgraded. It's food. You say a bracha, but it's a lesser bracha because it's not the normal way of eating. And that explains why in Hilchos Chuma, Rashi and Rambam have two different reasons why you're patur from paying chomesh when you eat Shemen's eyes plain. Rashi felt because it's mazikmi. So you don't say you don't pay chomesh when it's mazikmi. The Rambam thinks Shemen's eyes is never mazik a person. So the only reason why the Rambam thought you're patur from paying the chomesh on Shemen's eyes is because he thinks it's not derech achila. Again, the Rambam l'shitaso, that olive oil is considered food, but drinking it plain is not considered the normal way of eating. So that's why, again, it's downgraded to shehakol. That's why you're patur from paying the chomesh, because it's lav derech achila. Okay, we'll stop here.
I like David's question before. We used olive oil here. What other examples of anything else other than...